Matthew 19, please, in your Bible. Matthew 19, before we have the special tonight, we'll stand in a moment and read these scriptures. Matthew chapter 19, and we'll read verses 3 through 6 tonight. Matthew 19, 3, 4, 5, and 6, all right? Find that place. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's Word. We'll read these responsively as we always do. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. Please join me on the evens, Matthew 19, 3, 4, 5, and 6. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Let's pray together. Lord, this is a powerful passage. Help us tonight, please. And I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to set a high, high goal for our marriages. For these that aren't married, Lord, I pray that they will seek your will and your face and leadership about this like they've never searched it before. And it's so critical, this decision. And then, Lord, once it's made, I pray that the goal will be set very high. The bar will be set high. Lord, what you've joined together, let not man put it asunder. Bless us tonight. Give us your help and power. Bless the special and then the message in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. Be seated.
That is in love. The ocean is dry.
for us. All right, let me get this microphone on. Matthew 19. I want to speak tonight on the subject, In Search of Gold. In Search of Gold. And I said this morning, my mind thoughts have been on the matter of the 50th anniversary. We just celebrated it for my folks, and then Brother Jack and Dorothy, who are out of town this weekend. And their kids caught him by surprise. The girls caught him by surprise here with that thing Friday night. And that was a blessing. Old Jack was smiling and talking about as much as I've seen Jack smile and talk. Amen. He was excited. I was glad for him. And I want to speak tonight on the subject, In Search of Gold. Let's pray together. Lord, you know my heart's desire for every marriage in this room tonight. If you give us life and breath and health so we can live long enough. If the rapture doesn't happen for enough years, we think it's imminent, but Lord, a lot of other folks have too. Then I pray that every married couple will live in search of gold. So someday celebrate that 50th anniversary. If you give us life, I understand, Lord, some folks don't live that long. But if you give us life and breath and health, those of us that are married, may we finish the course with the one we are married to tonight. And then, Lord, for these who are yet to be married, may they please take it very seriously. Thank you for the institution of marriage. We think of Luke and Sarah just starting out yesterday. Pray your richest blessings upon them. If you stay in heaven, Jesus, may they live their life in search of gold, that golden anniversary. We'll thank you for it. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name and amen. I don't know a more controversial passage of Scripture than Matthew chapter 19. The issue of divorce is brought up by the Pharisees to Jesus in this chapter. They did not ask questions with a sincere heart in search of knowledge or wisdom. They asked questions attempting to catch Jesus in His words. And they hoped to get Him in a pickle, but they were not sincere. But of course, they could not mess with Jesus. How do you get all wisdom in a pickle? Amen. You don't do that. And so now, whether or not Jesus turned their insincerity into a time of instruction for His disciples, whether or not Jesus allowed a provision for divorce in His comments is a commonly debated issue. I know good men on both sides of the spectrum. I know good Christian people on both sides of the issue, very sincere about their position. One group says that Jesus left no provision for divorce. Another group says that Jesus left an exception clause, one provision for divorce. I want to say two things tonight, and then I'm going to move on, because that's not the subject of my message this evening. It is obvious from this passage that Jesus was not encouraging or condoning divorce. It's obvious that divorce is not His desire or His will. That is obvious. Amen. That is obvious. He said, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." That's His will. That's His perfect will. Let not man put it asunder. Now, it is also obvious that most divorces are not for the exception if Jesus gave one. Most divorces are not for that reason. He said, except it be for fornication. Now, people, that's a strong word. That's a strong word. That's not a man or a wife, a husband or a wife getting away from God and falling into sin and being engaged in immorality for a time or two and then a husband or a wife walking out for that reason. That's not what he's talking about there. The word fornication refers to the lifestyle of whoredom and harlotry. A lifestyle of whoredom and harlotry. Now, let me ask you a question. Of all the friends, you tell me, of your friends that have divorced, how many have divorced for that reason? Where the spouse was involved in a lifestyle of whoredom or harlotry. That was unreconcilable. Just let your mind wander for a little bit. Think about your friends that have divorced. Everybody in this room has friends that have divorced. Everybody. I've got friends who are in Bible college with that have divorced. But very few, very few would be for that reason. Nowadays, it's divorced for the slightest infraction. Or it's we just are not compatible anymore. Or, I don't love her. Or, I don't love him. If that's true, then you never did love your spouse. Because love never fails. True Bible love has no end, see. Divorce is horrible. Divorce is ugly. Divorce tears and rips at hearts and consciences and children. It's taken its toll on our society. The average child in America today has seen their parents divorce. More children living in America have seen their parents divorce than children living in America who've not seen their kids their parents divorce. That's in our country today. Our attitude toward it is very casual, very lackadaisical. You can go to the greeting card store over here and you can buy a friend of yours that goes through a divorce, you can buy them a congratulatory card congratulating them on their recent divorce. That's sick. Sick mentality. Now, you can do all that. I don't want to hurt and bring pain to people who have gone through divorce sitting in this room tonight. It is obvious, I think, our record speaks for itself here, that our church does not put or consider people who have gone through a divorce to be second-class Christians. I think there are some things the Bible provides that you can't do, possibly. But you can serve God. And you can be used. And God can bless you. And God can take care of your family. And so forth and so on. And it's obvious for that. At the same time, I need to and I want to exhort the couples in this room, young and old, to avoid this devastating matter of divorce. I want to and I need to say to our young people who are not married, to marry in the will of God. And when you marry in the will of God, stay together in the will of God. I need to do that. You saw this morning if you were in the service. Man, I was surprised at the number of couples here, either close to 50 or already 50 and beyond. That's a blessing. Amen. But I preached tonight for the 10-year group. I preached tonight. Mike and Teresa, how long y'all been married? 15 years. 15 years. Jeff, how long you and Nicole been married? 6 years. I preach for you folks tonight. Preach for you folks tonight. Daniel, how long you been married? Preach for you tonight. Brother Jason, how long you been married? I preach for you tonight, my friend. I preach for those of you, and I preach for those of us married 25 to 50 to 45 years, but especially for you young people tonight, married a year or five or seven. Brett, you and Amy, just a couple, 3 years now. How long you been married? About three, going on three. I preach for these people tonight. I want to see you stay together, be together, enjoy life together. Look what Jesus said in that verse. He said, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." This has been on my mind, running through my mind, on my heart, as we got to celebrate with my dad and my mother the 50th anniversary down in South Carolina. What a wonderful time. A never-to-be-forgotten week. Never-to-be-forgotten week. Honestly, never-to-be-forgotten week. And it was a nice week and a nice program and a nice plan, just a simple part of it. And then my brother from Florida, some of you know, made it real good. He bought my mom and dad a Cadillac for their anniversary. He bought them a car. My dad grew up working for General Motors, grew up. He started working for General Motors 35 years. He always said, "Mandy, one of these days I'm going to drive a Cadillac." I don't know how much he meant it, but he used to always say that. "One of these days I'm going to drive a Cadillac. One of these days, I'm going to drive a Cadillac." We started talking 3 or 4 months ago about, us boys did, about what we were going to do for Dad and Mom. We had some ideas. Should we put them on a cruise? Should we? In fact, I think Brian and Debbie Maxwell are on a cruise in Alaska right now. Man, I think that's wonderful. I forget how many years they've been married. Hey, thank you, Tim. All right. I think it's just wonderful. Should we send them on a cruise? Should we? But they don't like to go anywhere. They like to stay right close to home, you know. They're not travel people. Should we buy them a grandfather clock? I don't know, you know, chime. Should we send them on a vacation? What should we do? We had some ideas. And finally, my brother in Florida called. And he said, "Terry," he said, "have you thought any more about that gift?" I said, "Well, yeah." I said, "You got new ideas?" I said, "No." He said, "Well," he said, "you know, I can't get one thing out of my mind." I remember Dad always saying when we were growing up, "Mandy, one of these days I'm going to drive a Cadillac." I didn't say a word. I He said, Coke has bonused me substantially, and they should. That guy works his head off. I'm proud of my brother. Thank God for him. By the way, it's 9 years of college studies, 9 years to get that PhD. You know, people who work should get rewarded for their work. He was going to pay a certain price down in Florida, and I said, Tim, I said, after, and so he said, but I appreciate what he said. He said, you know, he said, obviously, if we give them a Cadillac, they're going to know who bought it. I said, that's right. Obviously, they're going to know who bought it. He said, do you and Tom feel bad? I said, absolutely not. My goodness, that would be great. And you know, he could have bought that car and given it to him on his own in Florida. But he let us be in on that, be a part of it. We bought the air freshener for the rearview mirror. Amen. So we gave him the Cadillac. Amen. We did give him a vacation trip, but he was going to buy it in Florida. And I said, let me talk to Brad Hovey. Brad did my brother tremendous. I have an 05 Cadillac with 17,000 miles on it for a tremendous price. I couldn't believe it. Somebody had to drive it to South Carolina. I wasn't going to let Luke do it. So I got to drive that thing. I got down there in that car. And, oh, how did it drive? I said, like a Cadillac. Amen. It sure did. I called Tim after I picked it up finally from Brad over there. I dialed his number, cell phone. I heard this funny bonk, bonk. And the number's busy. So I waited 5 minutes and I tried again. My mind was foggy and I thought, that's not a busy signal. What is that? And all of a sudden it dawned on me, about the time he said hello, it dawned on me, that's an international call. Hello? I said, Tim, where are you? Germany. I said, oh, no. He said, can I call you back? He was on business. He went to the Netherlands and France or somewhere over there and ended up over there in Germany. And he works hard. He's been bonused well. He bought that for them. And we had a two-hour program the other night. We had testimonies. We had letters from friends. We had letters from pastors, their former pastors, current pastor. We had a letter we read. We planned a nice, nice program for them and gave them the vacation. And then we gave them the Cadillac. It absolutely blew my dad away. Blew him away. We cried more tears. We had a time. It's a never to be forgotten time for our family. We thoroughly enjoyed it. Hey, you know what? You don't have to give somebody a Cadillac to have a great time. We had a great, although that does help. Amen, I will say. We had a great time. I appreciate my sister-in-law. You know, can you imagine your husband spending that kind of money to give to his parents? She was just as happy as they could be. Just happy as she could be. And but then to come here Friday night and with Jack and Dorothy upstairs. Boy, my heart was full. And I thought about this right here, that golden anniversary, In Search of Gold. In Search of Gold. What does it take to be married for 50 years? What does it take to be married for 40 years, for 60 years if God gives you life, breath, and health? John Hudson and his wife, I think, made 62 before, or more than that. Forget how many years they made before the Lord took Rosalie home to heaven. Somebody hear somebody whispering. How many was it? 66 years God gave them together. Incredible. Please don't think I'm being irreverent when I say this. Some people would say, well, it takes Jesus Christ. It takes being saved. Well, no doubt being saved and living for Jesus surely helps people stay together. But folks, do you realize that unsaved couples celebrate 50 years or more sometimes? Unsaved people celebrate 50 years of being married together. That's because there are some key Bible principles. There are some key elements that saved or unsaved people can live by Bible principle. And to a degree, enjoy a measure of blessing in this life. Now, eternity is going to be horrible. But you take the principles of hard work. Unsaved people can be blessed financially just by hard work if they'll live by the principles of the Word of God. And the same thing is true in marriage. there are some key elements that saved or unsaved people can incorporate into their marriage that will keep them together in search of gold. 50 years together. If God gives you the health. If He gives you the life. If Jesus doesn't come for His people and take us out in the rapture. Will you celebrate 50 years with the person you're sitting next to tonight? In search of gold in your marriage. Before I give you some things to think about this evening, I want to say to the young people who are not married here tonight, you college age students and you young people, boys and girls, one thing for sure that will help you to stay together, make sure it's God who joins you together. Make sure it's God who joins you together. Marry in the will of the God, in the will of God, not in the lust of the flesh. Marry in the will of God, not in the lust of the flesh. In counseling married couples over the years, I think more often than not, couples that come together are attracted together in the lust of the flesh at the beginning of the relationship have trouble later on down the line. Be careful about that. Be certain that you marry in the will of God. A good start is vitally important if you're going to live in search of gold for it when you marry. A good start is vitally important. Now, the end of a matter is always more important than the beginning thereof. But in this matter of marriage, a good start is incredibly important. Marry in the will of God. Now, you're going to live in search of gold. Let me give you four thoughts tonight. I think it'd be hard at all to get them down. It won't be long in any of them. Number one, live by the principle of no divorce. Live by the principle of no divorce. What is a principle? You know what a principle is? A principle is a decision made about a decision before I have to make the decision. A principle is making a decision about a decision before I have to make the decision. You see, every young person in this room tonight should have already made the decision, I will never put alcohol to my lips. You make that decision now about that decision, make that decision now about the decision before you have to make the decision someday. You don't want to be caught in the heat of the moment and be forced to make a decision. You make the decision now, then you live by that principle the rest of your life. Every young person should have already made the decision. You should have already made a decision about the decision to say no to drugs before you ever get confronted with making that decision. And on and on and on and I could go. The same is true about divorce. One day, you're going to have to make a decision about walking out on your spouse. Make the decision now about that decision. Don't make it. Don't wait to make it in the heat of the moment. Every person should enter into marriage living by a no-divorce principle. You say, Pastor, why in the world would I have to make that decision? Divorce is out of the question for me. We've been married 3 or 4 years. It's out of the question. Yes, it should be. But people, things change. It's not always happily ever after. Why do couples get divorced at 25 years and 30 years? And I'm not talking about these people that live like animals and shack up and run down to the justice of the peace and get married for 6 weeks and then they're never to be seen again, gone hither and yon like a covey of quail. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about couples that married 10 years and 12 years and 20 years and 30 years and 35 years and they divorce one day. I'm talking about that tonight. I'm talking about it's not always happily ever after. You don't wait to make the decision of no divorce when you are going through one of the four worst times in your marriage. You ever think about that? Those vows? You ever think about why they say what they say? There's a reason those vows say what they say. Sarah and Luke repeated those vows yesterday to each other. For better, for worse. Sometimes worse times come to a marriage relationship. Unforeseen thing. Who can predict the future? Who can see a husband changing his character? It's like a chameleon would change his color. Who can see a wife changing her character like a chameleon would change his color? Nobody can see that. Sometimes those things happen. That's why now, before you get married, or now, whatever stage in the game you are in marriage, whatever years you've got behind you, if you haven't already made the decision of no divorce, make it now. You say, why should I make that decision now? My wife and I, my husband and I are completely happy. It's a good time to make it. Don't wait until you get caught up in the heat of the moment. Men and women get married in their early 20s. 21, 22, 23, sometimes 19, 20 years of age. They're rolling along pretty good. A few children come along and the children start growing. And before you know it, mom and dad celebrate 20 years together. And before you know it, mom and dad celebrate 25 years together. It's unbelievable. And then, boom! You see some incredible things, bizarre things happen. I don't mean just around here. I mean other places as well. One spouse or the other goes through all those hormonal changes. One spouse or the other, or both, goes through all those midlife changes. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. You're going to hang on. You don't wait to make the decision about no divorce then. That's why you got to make it way before. And then you live by the principle. And when everything is falling apart around you, when your relationship, because of all these hormonal changes and things are being said and things are being done, and you're looking at each other, it's like we never knew each other. After 25 years, after 23 years, you say, when does that happen? I've seen it happen all through different ages, from about age 40 to 55. I've seen it come early. I've seen it come late. And I've seen ladies and men go through those things. And all of a sudden they're looking across the kitchen table at a spouse and they're thinking, man alive, what's happened to you? What's happened to you? The other one's thinking, what's happened to you? So you gotta make the decision now. No divorce. Make it now. Before the four worst times come, before the tough times come. Don't use the word divorce. Don't threaten your spouse with the word divorce. Don't hang that over your spouse's head if you're gonna live in search of gold. Can't do that. Make the decision now. If you're already married, you haven't made that decision, make it now. No matter what year you are in your marriage, if you've never thought about this. Been married 12 years, you've never thought about, I need to live by the no divorce principle. No divorce. If you haven't made it, make it now. If you're not married, make the principle, make the decision now about the decision before you have to make the decision, and live by that principle when you get into your marriage relationship. The principle of no divorce. None. And just live by it. Live by it. I mean, come thick or thin, live by it. And every marriage will see the thick and the thin. Every marriage will see the thick and the thin. I've said before, sometimes people get the funniest idea and they get all ashamed and embarrassed and feeling like nobody else has these troubles. Nobody else is going through what we're going through. I've told you before, I'll say it again, not a week goes by without some marriage in this room going through some difficulty. Now, you don't have to say amen to that, but that's the truth. I know. That's the truth. You make the principle now of no divorce, and you live by that principle. That's number one. Live by the principle of no divorce. Number two, if you're going to live in search of gold, you've got to live with a short memory. Live with a short memory. So what do you mean by that, Brother Angel? I mean the principle of forgiveness and forgetfulness must be practiced by a husband and wife above all other relationships. There is no closer relationship than that of husband and wife. I said in Sunday school class this morning to the men, you think about the matter of love, how powerful love is. You grow up loving your mom and dad with all of your heart, and then you take a spouse, and before you know it, you love that spouse more than you love your parents. I love my dad and mom dearly. I said this morning in Sunday school, love them dearly, but God forbid, if it ever came down to a choice between my dad and mom or my wife, the matter's already settled. I love my wife more than I love my dad and mom. That tie is stronger than any other between husband and wife. Is it possible to love your spouse more than you love your children? You better. You love your children with an immense, unending, comprehensive ocean full of love. Then you better love your spouse beyond that. One day they'll all be gone. You'll cross the kitchen table at breakfast to you and him or you and her. Love her. Love him. There's no marriage that doesn't suffer through failure on the part of both spouses. Did you hear what I said?
There's no marriage that doesn't suffer through failure on the part of both of the spouses, especially in the early years. There are so many mistakes made in those early years of marriage. And if you have a long memory, it's not going to help. Amen. It's not going to help. I was down visiting Brother James Kent yesterday at the Clifton Nursing Home there. I said this morning he's failing in his health. I don't know that he'll ever be back to church. I sure wish he could be here. He's a great old man. I love him to death. Last World War II veteran in our church. Fought under Patton over there. He has a son that comes to see him faithfully. Hospital rooms, nursing homes. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've gone there to visit Brother James, and this one son has been there. Because it's a good ways down to Clifton, I didn't want to just bop down there for 5 minutes like it would make a hospital visit, maybe 10 minutes to leave. I wanted to stay a while because I drove a while to get there. So I made conversation with James, then I made conversation with his son, and we talked about James being in World War II. And then I said to his son, I said, did you serve? He said, I was in Vietnam. I said, what'd you do over there? He told me what he did. Told me what years he was in. He was a Marine. Flew on helicopters. Spent how much time over there? He said, oh, I don't remember. 12, 14 months maybe. I called his name. I said, hey, I said, let me ask you a question. When you got back to the States, how were you treated? And he kind of smiled and he kind of squirmed a little bit and he kind of stumbled around there, and he said, I don't remember. Pastor, I can't change that, but I can do something about the future. Boy, that said volumes to me. What that told me is probably he was treated poorly. Vietnam vets were spit on. They were cursed. They were called baby killers. They were treated horribly. They came home from Vietnam. Probably that man was treated like that. But you know what he was saying there? He said, I've learned that you can't have a long memory. What if he was treated poorly? And what if that bothered him to this day? He said, Pastor, he said, that's over 33 years ago. I don't know that man's saved. He claims to be. But if he's unsaved, he's learned the Bible principle whether he knows it or not. If you're going to enjoy life, you're going to have a short memory. And if you're going to go in search of gold for your marriage for 50 years, in search of that golden anniversary, you're going to have a short memory when it comes to your spouse's failures. I hope my wife has a short memory when it comes to my failures. I can't, there wouldn't be enough room on a legal pad or two or three of them to write my failures, especially in those early years. And hopefully and thankfully, now over 27 years, I've hopefully learned something about this matter, doing better. But I'm going to tell you something, I'm as guilty as anybody about the early years. A lot of failures. And if you live with a long memory, you're not going to make it in search of gold. Paul the Apostle was on that missionary journey, and John Mark quit and went back. And man, you know, we talked about it on Sunday morning, the time they got ready to go on the second journey. Here came Barnabas with John Mark, and Paul said, nope, not about to go. He's not going. He had a long memory. He said he left the first time. He's not going with the second time. Later on, when Paul got a little bit older in his life, you know what he said? He said, take Mark and bring him with you. He's profitable for me. The thing that had been a stumbling block to the Apostle Paul had not changed, folks. Mark had still walked out on him in that first missionary journey. That had not changed. What changed? I'll tell you what changed. Paul's memory changed. He decided he's going to have a short memory. You can't hold things against your wife, and you can't hold things against your husband. I don't know how to say or what to say about how to do this. You just have to live with a short memory. You have to forgive and move on in this matter if you're going to live in search of gold when it comes to 50 years together. You're going to have to live with a short memory. You're going to have to. and ask God to help you do it. Not only up here, but down here. Get it out. Get it out. Live with a no divorce principle. Live with a short memory. Let me say this tonight. If you're going to be in search of gold, live as close to the biblical role for husbands and wives as possible. Folks, this book spells out the role for the husband. It also spells out the role for the wife. The closer you and I get to the role that this book establishes, this is the pattern for success. Right here. As a man, if I can find it and live by it, I'll be okay. And as a wife, if you can find it and live by it, you'll be okay. I've said before, give the story, Sam Davison. I've never met the man. He's from Oklahoma City, I believe, Heartland Baptist College. I don't know the name of the church. Good-sized church. Camp meeting type preacher. Somebody gave me a message that he preached on CD, and he was preaching about, I don't think he was preaching on the subject of marriage, but he said, you know what? He said in the early years of our marriage, he said, you know, I did a lot of things that caused problems. I don't think he was immoral. He wouldn't be preaching today. He failed. Like every man in this room has failed. He said, I finally got to the place one day where I decided I was going to find out what this Bible had to say about the role of the husband, and I was going to do my best to live according to that pattern. And then he said, you can't believe the changes that take place when you line up with the Bible. And if you want to live in search of gold for that 50 golden anniversary someday, some year, husband and wife, you're going to have to find the role of the husband and the wife in this book and live as close to it as you can. This book has the pattern for success. You say, I can't measure up completely. No, but we can sure do our best to get as close as we can. And I'll promise it'll help. No doubt about it. Live by the principle of no divorce. Live with a short memory. Live as close as you can to the biblical role of husband and wife. And let me say this, number four. This may be the most difficult. Live unselfishly. Live unselfishly. Selfish spouses spell doom for a relationship. Spell doom for a relationship. You have to give up what you want to be. You have to give up what you want to be what your spouse needs, or it won't work. You have to give up what you want to be what your spouse needs you to be. Sirs, fellas, there are things your wife needs, and more than likely to meet that need, you're going to have to give up something you want or enjoy. Now, if you're not willing to do that, you're in trouble. And vice versa, ladies, there's probably something that your husband needs, and more than likely, in order to meet that need, you're going to have to give up something that you want or you enjoy. But you're going to have to give it up to meet his need. And if you're not willing to do that, you're headed for trouble in a marriage relationship. Selfishness. I wish I had done a survey over the years. I don't know what it is that's contributed to divorces. Again, I'm not talking about divorces that have come after 6 weeks or 10 weeks or 10 months. I'm talking about divorces in the 10 to 35 to 40 year bracket. I would be willing to say that probably selfishness has caused more of those divorces than any other one thing. Selfishness. If you're going to be selfish, you're dooming the relationship. No other relationship demands as much unselfishness as marriage does. Incredible. The parent-child relationship demands unselfishness. Luke's doing a little work this summer with Brother Payne there. And we was talking about it one day, the job and everything. And I asked him how the job was going. And he said, Dad, sometimes now I see when you come home from work why you'd like just to relax instead of coming out to do something with us. But I try to go out and do something with the kids. You got to do that. What do you want to do? You want to sit down and relax, put your feet up. But you can't be selfish. You can't be selfish with your kids. And 1,000 times more, you can't be selfish with your spouse. Well, it's quiet here tonight. Are you all okay with this? You can't be selfish with your spouse. You need to spend some time with her. You need to go out together. You need to try. I don't care. I've counseled couples over the years. We don't have any money. You got $3? Get in your car and drive to Dairy Queen. Buy a dollar, 99 cent. They got 99 cent menu meal over here. Buy a 99 cent Frosty. Drive out to the watch the river and eat Frosty and drink and have a good time together. Spend $2. It's called unselfish. It's called unselfishness. There's no relationship that demands as much unselfishness as marriage does. Demands it. And if you're going to live in search of gold in a marriage relationship, you're going to have to live unselfishly. You're going to have to. Small boy and his sister were riding on a rocking horse. You know those wooden rocking horses they used to have? I used to like the ones that were on the springs. Man, you could bounce those things. Amen. But they had those wooden ones that rocked, you know. The little boy and his sister were riding on a wooden rocking horse. Man, they were making that thing rock, and they were having a good time. And finally, that little boy, just all of a sudden, he turned around and he said to his sister back there, he said, "You know what? If one of us would get off, there'd be more room for me." I laugh when I read that in that book back there. I got a big book that has all these illustrations in it. I laugh when I read that. Then I thought, you know what? That's not so. You have to wonder how many marriages end because one spouse says, you know, if one of us would get out, there'd be more room for me to do what I want to do, go where I want to go, have what I want to have, live my life like I want to live it without any interference from you. If you have that attitude, friend, you won't live in search of gold. You won't get to 50. I'll promise you that. If Jesus gives us life, if Jesus gives us health, if Jesus doesn't come for us, it ought to be the high goal of every married couple to live in search of gold and reach that place where you've been together for 50 years. Live with a no-divorce principle, live with a short memory, live unselfishly, and live as closely to the Word of God as you can. God gives you life, breath, and health. And both spouses have that attitude. Someday there'll be a 50th for you. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, it's a long time together, isn't it? 50 years. In search of gold. Let's pray together tonight. Thank you for listening. Dear Father, my heart's desire and prayer for every married couple in this room, no matter how many years they've been married, if you give them life and health and breath, if you stay in heaven, my heart's desire is for everyone someday to get an invitation to some little open house or party or gathering in honor of their 50th wedding anniversary. Thank you, dear Lord, for the many in our church already that have achieved that lofty goal. Lord, I pray that each one of us would set that as a goal, a destination for our marriages. Make it so, dear God, please. There are some marriages, Lord, in this room tonight on a very strong foundation. There are some marriages in this room tonight on a very weak foundation. Husbands and wives are distant from each other. It's not tight right now. It may be one of those four worst times. For some, it might be those four better times. God, I pray whatever it is, I pray that what you've joined together, no man will put asunder. We'll live by the no-divorce principle. We'll live with a short memory. God, help us. Help us to live as close to the Bible role for husband and wife as we can. And help us to live unselfishly. May we reach that golden 50th. Wonderful time. Celebrate 50 years together. Bless these folks, I pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I would just ask the question tonight, if you've not been saved, I would encourage you to come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Husband and wife, 3 years, 35 years, 46 years. Are you living in search of gold? You're practicing these principles. You're living by a no divorce principle right now. You're living with a short memory. Are you living as close to the Bible role for husband and wife as you can? Are you living unselfishly? Or did the Spirit of God put His finger on something very, very subtly tonight, very quietly in your heart and say, you know what? This needs to be addressed. May it be your heart's desire to live in search of gold. Pastor, Brother Angel, when you close the prayer tonight, pray for me. Just when you pray and ask God to bless those that raise their hands, I want my hand raised on that. Would you lift your hand tonight? Dear Father, you saw the many. I pray, oh God, that you'll please bless every person lifted a hand. Bless every relationship. Bless every couple that calls each other husband or wife. Help us to live in search of gold. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies and gentlemen, this is all good. Nation, step out and come. May the Lord help us tonight. May the Lord help us tonight. Come tonight to be baptized, to make a decision with the Lord. God speak to your heart tonight. Live with these principles in search of gold. That 50th glorious anniversary. May God make it so.